This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. We are in the year-end drive, so if you have already, thank you very much for contributing to support NPR Illinois. If you haven't, there's still time, and now would be a wonderful time to go to nprillinois.org or call 206-9847 and make a gift to support the radio you listen to here at 91.9. We have a very special Community Voices tonight. We are joined by the DePaulo. And just before the break, we heard Devil, which was on their eponymous debut in 2016. They were recognized with an American Songwriting Magazine recognition for their composition, for the writing on that, and they are incredible. So let's talk more about the writing process.
My favorite songwriting experience was writing Devil, because I think it's a cool story. Micah lived downtown at the time, a really cool apartment, by the way, and we were sitting there trying to finish that song. And, you know, downtown, you have to plug the parking meters. And so I was kind of onto something. I thought of that a cappella round in the very beginning. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
to be honest, that part was not organic for me. I had to really work at that part.
the very classically trained musician, I was all about the a cappella round happening. Mike was like, I got to go. I'm just going to go downstairs and plug the parking meter with some coins and then I'll be back up. And when he came back up, I'm like, I have it. Sit down. This is what we're doing. And so I still remember that. And it's a really cool part. It's very different. And that I feel like was what kind of finally finished the song.
Yeah, that happens from time to time when you have, like, I think Dave doesn't mind me saying that, like, Dave and I are singers and Liz is a vocalist. So
agreed.
Sometimes when you have somebody like that, it really, you know, it encourages you to elevate your game a little bit. And she'll come up with a part that I would never have come up with, like that thing in that song.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And I think that's one of the big, like, powers of having three songwriters in a group too, is that you have those sorts of parts that Micah and I would not have come up with a part like that. It's just not in our DNA to do that. We have that really cool, everybody compliments each other without it ever feeling like it's not so obvious on one of our songs. Okay, well, that's obviously a Liz song, or that, you know, where you have some groups where you have multiple songwriters, where I like about this group is that you don't necessarily know who wrote the song necessarily. Some groups you can see, oh yeah, well, that was definitely this writer or this writer. From the vocal standpoint too, it's great to have someone who is classically trained like Liz. When we are going back to kind of that other question, is how does it come together organically, is it does fit in, but it's also like, it's easy for one of us to say, okay, you take this part and you take this part, you take this part. So it comes in very easily. And so many times on songs that I don't write, I don't necessarily have to come up with a complimentary vocal part. It's already kind of in that songwriter's head. Hey, I think you do this. Sometimes I'll just look at Liz and go, okay, what part should I sing? And then it comes together.
And I'm also curious to know how all of you get into music. You said Liz is classically trained. How did everybody kind of find their voice?
My first instrument is actually saxophone. I played saxophone through, when you start in fourth grade, through school, and played in the jazz band. And then I actually played sax in the marching band at the University of Illinois, as well as some jazz bands over there. And so I didn't actually pick up a guitar until I was 19 or so. And it's just really just because I specifically wanted to write songs, and I wasn't really going to be able to write songs on a sax. So I kind of went into that, kind of never looked back since then. Micah?
Dave's being humble. He's one of the hardest working guys around. Not only does he just play guitar and sax, but I don't know if you've ever seen his solo show where he does like percussion with his feet. Dave's a super talented guy. I just play guitar.
So how did you get started though, Micah?
I got my first guitar when I was probably 14. Growing up in Girard, I grew up in the country, so it wasn't a ton of stuff to do all the time. Liz will laugh at me, but the internet was new back then. I would get online and you know, just look up charts for my favorite songs, which I thought was really cool at the time, and learn them that way. Beatles and Zeppelin, all kinds of stuff like that.
Liz?
Yeah, so I started singing when I was 5 years old, and I'm the classic, like my mom took me to every county fair out there, and I would sing in all the talent competitions. I did Ed McMahon's Star Search when I was young, and I am definitely much more, like I was a theatrical background, you know, born and raised in Springfield, Illinois, there weren't a lot of places to sing. So I did show choir and I did theater. So I just have a different background with songwriting because of those things. I went on to go to Belmont University where actually they wanted me to be a classical musician. So I do opera and stuff as well. It's just kind of crazy. I definitely have dabbled in all sorts of types of music. Then I did American Idol in 2007, maybe. So that kind of helped get my foot in the door with different things. But I was definitely trying to be a pop singer. I wanted to be a Katy Perry. Simon Cowell told me that he totally just saw me more as like a country musician, which as soon as I got with these guys, not to say that we're country, I don't really think we're country, but people do look at us and say, oh, you guys sound like Lady Antebellum. And once I started singing that music, I realized I think he was right. I think my voice is so much better suited for the type of stuff I'm singing now. I started at a young age, but had a different type of background for sure.
That was the experience of going on American Idol. I have a couple of friends that have tried to go on The Voice or Sunday's Best, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would probably faint from like the anxiety of it all. How was that like for you?
It was crazy. It definitely is very different behind the scenes than what you see on TV. Is extremely nerve-wracking. I did it when it was still like really, really big. The original judges, we had Paula Abdul, Randy, and Simon Cowell. Simon's really scary. He's really scary. So when I won over his approval in Hollywood Week, when he was like, okay, you're actually okay. Or like he told, I forget how he phrased it, but he said something like, okay, she's actually good. That was like this moment in my life I'll never forget. Oh my God, Simon Cowell thinks I'm good.
Yeah, that's an A+ from Simon Cowell.
Yeah. But it was really cool. You know, but TV is TV. I mean, they got to have a storyline. I mean, there's just so much more that goes into those shows than just who's the best singer. Because I can tell you there were some incredible singers that probably should have won that show, but never even got on. They didn't have the story.
That's Liz Eckert of the Deep Hollow talking about her experience on American Idol. This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. We are in the year-end drive. Thank you if you've given already. If you haven't, now's a great time to think about becoming a Calendar Club member, where you can do as little as $20 a month and make a significant difference for the public radio you love. Go to nprillinois.org and click on the donate button at the top right, or call 206-9847 and make that donation. In a moment, a little more about what real life is like for a musician. But first, let's hear Real Life from the Deep Hollow's second release in 2018, Weary Traveler.
My daddy told me, son, can't count on anyone. Just walk the road you choose. But don't waste no time. Get doing what you gotta do. 'Cause if it's ripe for the picking, you're right on time. Go on now, pick and grin. I don't know where I'm going, and I sure as hell don't know where you've been. I'll be on the porch banging on the door. Till you let me in, what are you waiting for? Real life to begin. Since when do you ever keep your voice down so well? you're the pick and you're right on time. Go on now, pick and grin. I don't know where I'm going, and I sure as hell don't know where you've been. I'll be on the porch banging on the door until you let me in. What are you waiting for? 'Cause if it's right for the pick and you're right on time, go on.
Folks think musicians make their living off of their music. Most of them that I know have to have day jobs. How does that part work out for you? Let's start with Dave.
I was lucky enough for a long time to make a living with music, but as my, you know, had family and had a couple kids, the touring thing and living out of a van with four dudes kind of loses its luster after doing it for 10 years. Actually, now I work, I do have a day job. I taught guitar, saxophone, and flute for about 5 years. And then just the last couple of years, I actually worked for the state of Illinois with the Executive Ethics Commission as a state purchasing officer. It's not quite as exciting maybe as music. I was pre-law in college, so I get to kind of scratch that itch. So I essentially, when the state of Illinois buys things, you know, we have a enormous budget, our office just reviews them and makes sure that they were ethically procured.
Music's great. Does it pay the bills?
Yeah, I mean, I still do music full time, but around here, you kind of have to, if you want to do that, kind of got to have your hands in a lot of different things. So I do lessons a lot of the week. And then, like we talked about, we have the cover band that does a lot of weddings and corporate events and stuff like that. I think it would be hard to do music full time if you're only trying to do original music. It is doable, but I think you just kind of need to have your hands in a lot of different things, which is what I've been trying to do the past few years.
And Liz, did I see recently you purchased a retail outlet?
Yeah. So it was a really great year to buy a business. but I have worked at Bella Boutique since I was 18 years old, which was always like a perfect little part-time job while doing all the music stuff. The previous owner, who was like a second mom to me, offered me the business this past year. So I bought it January 29th, not knowing that the whole world was going to change a month and a half later. We are so blessed. People have been so good to local businesses. We're doing great. We're hanging in there, and it actually is extremely rewarding. I love being a business owner. So here's to 2021, though.
Where could one find this amazing new Bella Boutique?
Bella Boutique is on West White Oaks Drive. So behind like the old Toys R Us and Babies R Us buildings.
Dave, I feel like you posted something before.
He's been the frontman of a lot of bands. He knows how to do it.
Well, really, we have such amazing, I have such amazing bandmates. I want to be able to promote their stuff. They don't promote their own stuff enough. Like, no, come on. You guys are doing amazing things.
I'm a little offended that Liz hasn't asked us to do a jingle yet.
Oh my gosh. We should totally do a jingle for 2021.
Speaking of jingle, it's that holiday time. We're in the year-end drive at NPR Illinois, 91.9 UIS. And you can help contribute to support the public radio you love by going to nprillinois.org and clicking on the donate button to make your contribution. Or you can call 206-9847. This is Community Voices, and we're enjoying a special year-end series of interviews, this one with the Deep Hollow. This is They All Say from the Deep Hollow.
I woke up late with a headache. Try to forget the words that I said with the Irish whiskey still on my breath. They all say that someday I'll get over you. But what happens when I don't want to?
They All Say from the Deep Hollow on 91.9 UIS. This is NPR Illinois. You're listening to Community Voices as we have the Deep Hollow as our guest tonight. And we hope you enjoy their wisdom and their music as they deliver it to us. Support NPR Illinois by going to nprillinois.org or by calling 206-9847 and making a donation now. More from the Deep Hollow when we return.